On this episode of The Playbook, I have Koya Webb, the founder of Get Loved Up and Holistic Health Coach, and we talk about something that's so relevant today, fear. And we teach how our fears are feedback to be paid attention to and not something to run away from. Learn to love fear here with Koya Webb on The Playbook.
This is Entrepreneurs The Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success and what made them champions on the field and in the boardroom. I'm your host and CEO of Sports One Marketing, David Meltzer.
This is Dave Meltzer with Entrepreneurs The Playbook, and I have a special guest today, Koya Webb. She is the founder of Get Loved Up, and she wrote a book, and I'm going to read it, and I'm going to say it right, because I don't know why I can't remember it, because it's such a good name. Let Your Fears Make You Fierce. And I think I might have a block, because obviously I'm a ego-based consciousness guy, and fear to me is a practice. Mm-hmm. One of the five key components of my life is the practice ending fear, and understanding the relationship between our fear and how to be fierce is interesting to me, because I'd like to understand your perspective on, number one, can fear be a motivator?
Oh, yeah.
It can.
Definitely. Well, my philosophy is fear is feedback. We all have it. Universe is for us, not against us. So fear is here to keep us safe. Why do you not step out in the street? Fear you don't want to get hit. What do? Don't step out in the street. A lot of fear is unconscious, or it could be because of past hurt. And so,
Or past lives.
We have ancestral trauma, all kinds of things. That's just an anxiety. All that is compounded fear. So once you realize that fear is feedback, you don't fight it. You understand it. You acknowledge it, and you become friends with it.
That's awesome. I agree 100% with every single thing that you say. The only question I have where I differ a little bit through my understanding of fear is on the motivation side. So for me, fear, everything you said to describe fear was correct, but fear for me can't motivate, because fear itself is a soul sucker, right? It's an energy depreciator. So fear, because it focuses us, it won't let us step in the street. Fear focuses us, and we get the feedback from fear because it focuses us, and we get results from fear because it focuses us. But the one distinction that I've learned just recently in the last 12 months, and I'm old, is that I believe that we have to clarify all of those things that you teach people about fear and how fierce it can make you, and you need to understand it. The only nuance that I think is different is that I believe fear, the ego-based consciousness, drains us of our energy. And that if we can find substitutes through consistent behavior, yoga, all these holistic things that you do, substitutes, when we understand fear, we then can, through awareness, say, okay, what can I do to substitute the soul-sucking focus attribute of fear with something that has an inspired state? So I'm sure you and I both agree that we're always connected to the most powerful source of energy, light, and love.
Mm-hmm.
Right, coming from a woman who owns a company called Loved Up.
Get Loved Up.
Exactly. So, you know, for you, how does the love relationship and the nuance between motivation and inspiration work?
Is exactly what the title of my book means. Let your fears make you fierce. So some people think fierce, strong, but it's actually let your fear make you love. And when you acknowledge the fear, you understand the fear, you actually transition it to love, motivation, compassion. So it's not about using the fear to make you hard or just cold or anything ego-based. It's actually using the fear just to provide feedback so that you can then switch your emotion to love. But if you don't acknowledge it as fear, if you don't acknowledge the darkness, it's going to be hard to see the light. If you don't acknowledge the pain, it's going to be hard to have progress.
Yeah, it's funny that you say that, because I think through fear and pain, and you're an ex-Olympic athlete, extraordinary, still athlete in your own respect, but until you acknowledge that pain is the result of not learning lessons. So I believe that when pain is apparent, whether it's physical, emotional, spiritual pain, then what the universe is telling us, and we usually are afraid of pain, but what the universe is telling us is, hey, dummy, you need to raise or elevate your awareness in order to figure this out. Does that fit into your philosophy, or how would
Hey dummy part.
Yeah, but... I have to be careful when you're around like truly enlightened people, because it's not just what you think. It's like, hold what on a second. Say? No negative words, no attacking thoughts. We're going to attract the wrong things to ourselves. I am humbled by Koya, because thank you for that lesson. You're right. Once say, hey, dummy.
But really, compassion. Compassion is the number one emotion that can shift you to love every single time. Compassion for yourself, compassion for others, and compassion for the world we live in. Once you have that compassion, and number two, gratitude for yourself, others, and the world, it can shift fear to love. It can change the pain. And another thing I feel is that pain is not always negative. When you have a baby, it's painful. When you're building a muscle, because we got athletes, it's painful, but you're growing. So for me, pain is a process. It's a process to get stronger. So once we realize that the world is not against us, in the pain, in the fear, in all of that, the world is always for us. And the only fear is an illusion. Pain is an illusion, even though it feels real. And if you're going through this process of feeling it, but because of the journey and the process of it, what happens? After you give birth, baby. After you are sore in the gym, stronger. And so the pain, if it's emotional pain, you cry, you had a breakup, you lost your job, but then you get better and you learn more skills and you get even better. You see? So each time, yes, acknowledge that we're feeling pain, but the pain isn't the end result. The growth, expansion, that's the end result. Love is the end result.
That's awesome. And compassion is an interesting word, because when I look at compassion, because I believe we have to be compassionate, we have to clear that interference between this source of love, light, and lessons that we're always connected to, two words come to mind. One you talked about, which was gratitude. I don't think you can be compassionate without having that perspective. Yeah. And gratitude to me is having the ability to learn the lessons from everything that happens, see, say, or do, believe, or even the unconscious competencies that is ancestral or past life driven into a quantum memory that we both have, and maybe you don't believe in. But more importantly, where does forgiveness fall into compassion? Because I'm a student of forgiveness.
100%. I'm a student of forgiveness as well. And the thing is, just like I was like, I wouldn't say it, I mean, forgiveness. Forgive yourself. You know, we are human. We're spiritual beings, I believe, having a human experience. And so we're going to feel pain. We're going to feel anger. We're going to feel remorse. We're going to say things we didn't really mean. Our hearts are in the right place, right? So forgiving yourself, because if you don't learn to forgive yourself and if you beat yourself up, you're going to judge others and beat others up just like you beat yourself up. So the people that are meanest to me, I have compassion, because I'm like, they're probably just as mean to themselves. You know, or if not meaner.
Right, and then pray for their happiness, right?
Pray for their happiness. Right. Understand. Pray for their healing.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they need it. They need that prayer.
So you're very young to have this great wisdom and enlightenment. And I know some of it's quantum, it's ancestral. You've inherited this wisdom into your DNA. I truly believe that. But moreover, you are well read. And I have a feeling that you and I have read some of the exact same things by the terminology that you use and the philosophies that you have and the holistic approach that you take. And in fact, one of my mentors for holistic medicine is Dr. Gladys, I had shared with you.
Yes.
And I want to name a few different things that I have read. And number one, tell me if you've read it. Two, if you have, tell me what the lesson is or what you take most from. Is that fair?
That's fair.
I've never done this before, because I don't think anyone that I've ever had on here would have been capable that is young. Like, I could have Jack Canfield on here and Bob Proctor and all old men, the guys who wrote these books. But let me start with some of my favorites. So okay. Wayne Dyer.
Oh, my favorite. My first.
Okay. I figured that's mine. Power of Intention.
Am I telling you what stuck out?
Yeah. I was going to give you the exact book.
Give me one. I'm
Power of Intention.
Okay. Power of Intention. Is that the book?
Yeah, that's just for.
So I've read many books from Wayne Dyer. I will tell you how Wayne Dyer impacted me the most, and it's because he spoke in a language. Because I was raised Southern Baptist Christian, and he was he had a voice that could really help me understand that journey into spirituality and daily spirituality and a daily walk with God, not just a Sunday walk with God.
Yeah.
And so Wayne Dyer in his languaging was gentle enough to kind of walk me into this deeper relationship with God.
That's awesome. And then I'll reverse it back then, Joel Osteen.
Oh, yeah. I love him. I've read many of his books as well. I actually visited his church in Houston, yeah, for the first time.
I got to meet everybody, go down, yes, to the family lounge.
I cried during the service. The music, his speaking, like everything. He's just he's fierce. He's fierce in love and he's real. And he cried on stage too. So I just love his passion and how he teaches with such purpose and poise. And also his wife, like that. He really inspires me that, you know, to live prosperous and live abundant. So I really love, because coming from a small town and, you know, not having very much, and getting into this thinking of like, you are worthy and you deserve all that life has to offer. It took me a while to get through some of those limiting beliefs that I had, feeling like I should always struggle. I should always be broke. This is not meant for me. I had to break through that but I wasn't raised like that. I was raised very poor, and I really had a lot of limiting beliefs and thinking about what was possible for me. I didn't think I'd be traveling the world and writing a book and living on the beach. That wasn't even a reality that was possible for me. But once I removed all those fears, all those blocks, all those doubts, I was like, why not? I like the beach. Let me go there. I like California. Let me do that. I want to write a book. Done. And once you, I feel, remove the fear, you can do anything.
And you're living that. And I am, you know, very similar in the background of growing up with a single mom, six kids in the Midwest, and limiting my beliefs to the point where when I had achieved so much that my beliefs, you know, it's probably more of a rarity, but you are a celebrity consultant, holistic consultant to celebrities in yoga and holistic visionary. But I think I see a lot of it in athletes and celebrities myself. A lot of myself where, wow, I have a lot more than I ever thought I could have, and I still have the worthiness issues. So then we create self-sabotage and fear in order to get rid of it.
Right.
I lost over $100 million with worthiness issues. People ask me, how do you lose it? I'm like, because I wasn't worthy. Mm. And they don't understand what I'm saying. I didn't believe I'm worthy. I'm more than worthy. And that's where I resonate with Joel as well, right? Like, because some people may look down upon a church that is prosperous.
Right.
Right. And an individual reverend or pastor that is prosperous. See, I'm a man of belief that there's more than enough of everything for everyone.
Right.
And the impact that, you know, some people look at Jeff Bezos with his $10 billion that he gave, the impact that he has, I don't care how much money Jeff Bezos makes.
Right.
What difference does it make in my life? I care about the $10 billion that he's giving to our environment, because that's going to have significant, and I don't know many other people on this earth in this vibration that can attract that much wealth,
right,
as Jeff Bezos, nor Joel Osteen. I don't begrudge him, you know, for creating abundance for himself, because
right,
the impact that he's having in truly in his truth consciousness, he's human. I'm sure he does stuff like you and I that we're not proud of, and he forgives himself, but people are so judgmental. Let me get a little deeper into some text. How about Course in Miracles?
Course of Miracles, that was like the foundation of Get Loved Up. It helped me realize there are two base emotions in life, love and fear. And when I can trickle whatever I'm feeling, any type of guilt or shame or judgment or anything, down to that's fear on some level, unpack it, uncover it. And love, compassion, gratitude, makes it easy to switch from fear to love. And the Course of Miracles, it's thick. I'm actually about to start a book club and we're going to start unpacking it, because I feel like it can really help people in this chaotic time that we're experiencing on the planet. And to go back to the money thing, money is energy. And what people get caught up in the Bible is like, you know, money is the root of all evil, but it's the love of money. So me, I love energy, and I have energy in my bank account. I have energy with relationships so that I can move away in the world that is free, giving and receiving love, giving and receiving energy wherever I want to place that. And when you understand that it's not just about, and like you said, it's not just about accumulating all for yourself, it's about giving it away. I can pour into so many other things because I have accumulated this energy for myself, this love for myself, this worthiness for myself. And to have a block where, and it's okay to have a block. I have blocks in different areas of my life. Even though I'm well-studied and well-read, I have relationship blocks that I'm working through now that are ancestral. And I see the patterns. The first thing is to see it. And the first thing I was working on, I've been working on my lifetime, is career. And really understanding self-worth and self-value. Now I'm unpacking relationships, friendship, romantic partnership, and I'm not in a hurry. I'm doing this for me. I'm doing this for my future children and generations in the world, because the better we are, the better the world is. And so I feel like when we give ourselves that grace and realize that abundance is just energy, you remove the block in saying that that's not for me.
It's interesting because one of the things that I teach and have learned through my own experiences, I always say, baggage is attracting. And they're like, what do you mean by that? I said, life is this journey, and you have all this baggage on you, right? You talk about unpacking your baggage.
Right.
But what people don't realize is that if you don't unpack the baggage, it brings on more baggage.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you and I, you know, you're an Olympic runner, you and I are racing, but we start the race with 200 pounds of baggage on us, and you don't take care of that baggage, even if all I do is stay at the starting line and unload my baggage first, I'll beat you.
Right.
But what's worse about life is that it's not just that I'm unloading my baggage. It's that your 200 pounds by the end of the day becomes 400 pounds.
Right.
Because it keeps attracting those issues that you're unpacking. If you're not unpacking, you're attracting.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets heavier and heavier no matter how strong you are. And I see some really fierce, strong people that don't unpack their baggage. And you deal with a lot of celebrities and successful people like I do, that all I'm really doing is clearing the interference and corrosion. I'm unpacking their baggage. And the first step you mentioned, which is critical, is awareness.
Right.
What are some of the keys, you know, to elevate that awareness? You know, I always say, because my mission in life is to empower over a billion people to be happy, which is probably aligned with some of yours. And that's why I like you here, because you can be one of my 1,000 that impacts 1,000 to impact 1,000, because that's how I'm going to get there. But moreover, like, what advice can you give? You know, I see people that are depressed, and I can't tell someone that's depressed, hey, you know, you just got to be grateful and forgiving. Look at the glass half full.
Right.
You know, find the light, love, and lessons in your misery.
Right.
Because there's so much to unpack.
Mm-hmm.
But the first step, what I try to do, is to raise that awareness of, hey, let's figure out why you feel this way.
Right. I have something called a mindful mindset. Mm-hmm. And it's 5 steps. And we've already went through, I think, 3 of them. Right. And so step number 1 is acknowledge the pain, and acknowledge, and especially when I have a friend, even though I might have energy in a certain way, I think that person realizing they're not alone, and me actually sharing my pain and what I'm struggling with, because I do feel like as a collective, we are all struggling. And unless we can find our own pain point, we're not going to help anyone else through theirs, because they're going to be like, oh, you got it all made. Don't tell me anything. You don't understand my pain. But even if that pain is something that we're dealing with in the world, that's the only way we can have our conversations, and really feeling like, okay, they're not a no, and they're able to acknowledge their pain. And then number 2 is gratitude that you're still alive, because some people check out, take themselves out, take others out. And so just acknowledging the pain, and then acknowledging the gratitude. I'm grateful for my life. I'm grateful for my family. I'm grateful for my health. Whatever it is, I tell people, write 3 to 4 things you're grateful for. And that will start shifting that energy of anger, guilt, shame, pain. It'll start shifting it to the lower vibration. And then the 3rd thing is forgiveness, which we already talked about. Just forgiving yourself for judging yourself so harshly. A lot of people going through a lot of pain, they're like beating themselves up over and over instead of saying, okay, I felt down. It's like, you know what? Forgive yourself, because I see an awesome person. It's like when you see the awesomeness in them and tell them how great they are, sometimes that's what people need, because you go on social media and you look at every magazine and you don't look like them. You don't have what they have, and it's in your face every single day. But how many people, especially
the funny thing
men,
is they don't have what they have, and they right. don't they don't and look then, like they look.
But who's telling you every day, you are amazing just as you are? You're brilliant. So I
great
think
point.
You just speaking that over their life, like I call it affirming. I affirm all my friends. You are beautiful. You are smart. You are wise. And I think that really helps. And then the next step is intention setting. Okay, after you tell them, hey, look, you're amazing, you're worthy, forgive yourself for putting yourself, you got this, and let me show you how to do it. And then their ears are open. They're like, okay, I can do this. All right. intention. What do you want to do? Let's take one step at a time and realize it's not about getting to the finish line. It's about the journey along the way and what you learn along the way. And then once they set their intention, just sharing it, like checking in with them on a weekly basis, like, hey, how's it going? How are you doing? And I think especially within the world of like social media, we forget to do those checks. And so I share this mindful mindset practice. It's just 5 steps. And I do it for myself anytime I'm feeling down. Sometimes you don't know, you're moving so fast. Like you and I are moving so fast.
Yeah.
And you're like, man, I'm in a weird little funk today. And then once I do these reflections every morning, write in my journal, how are you feeling? Where is this coming from? Why are you feeling sad? What happened? Was that person that, you know, gave you the finger in traffic? Was it right. because you were late? You know, so different things can trigger us. So when we practice this mindful mindset, it can help us get through these times.
So it's interesting because I'm a word person as well, because words hold power, which is why when you said, hey, don't say dummy, it really resonated with me because I have to cancel certain things that are habitual and even in a sarcastic manner can cause damage.
Mm-hmm.
The word acknowledge is interesting to me because I have a saying, be more interested than interesting. Mm. And acknowledge comes from the root of acquiring knowledge, right? And so you're seeking. And, you know, if you get into Joel and other people, right, seeking is an important thing because it takes attention plus intention when we seek,
right?
Not just attention when we're seeking. It takes intention, and that equals the coincidences that occur in our life when the universe is coinciding with what we want.
Right.
In a perfect mathematical equation. To that form, can I ask you a few words and can just have you define them with your perspective? Because you have such an enlightened state of frequency. I'd love to know how you define certain words.
I love that.
One would be salvation.
Oh, salvation. I feel like salvation is saving yourself from fear, being consumed by it, being consumed by fear, being consumed by pain, being consumed by any vibration outside of love. When you don't do that, that's salvation.
Awesome. Christ.
Christ. Christ was a beautiful example, a beautiful evangelist in how we can live, we can love, and we can serve. Christ went through so many things and showed us in this human experience, we can find grace, but he wasn't without pain. He wasn't without suffering. He wasn't without all these things. So I think having that example is a beautiful thing.
Last word, reconciliation.
Reconciliation is realizing that it's never the end until it's the end. So there's always an opportunity to return to love, to return compassion, to return to yourself.
Well, this has been amazing. I have one last question or piece of advice that you can share. We went through a few of my favorite books. Of course, you read all of them, and my favorite philosophers, that we'll call them teachers, mentors that we share because our philosophies are so aligned. I'm trying to like not just look as if, yeah, because this is what I live every day. And I love the way that you articulate the same things that I teach, right? Because it's not what people, it's not what you say, it's what people hear.
Right.
And we all say things with different frequencies, strength of the signal spectrum, and the clarity of our messages. What is the one book or person that if you could just recommend one person or one book, what would that be to our audience that you think would rock their world?
Spiritual Liberation by Michael Bernard Beckwith.
Ah, my boy, Michael Beckwith.
Yes.
That's it. Doctor. He likes Dr. Michael Beckwith, right? He doesn't like Reverend anymore.
Dr.
He's my
Reverend,
boy.
Spiritual.
Lisa Nichols and Dr. Reverend.
Lisa Nichols.
Oh, yeah.
Abundance
you remind me
Now.
Of
love
Lisa.
Her.
You
I
remind
adore
me of her.
Her.
So you carry a lot of the same energy.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I adore Lisa and I adore Dr. Michael because.
You go to Agape then.
I do.
Yeah,
I do.
It's a little drive for me, but it's an awesome
it's
place
so
if you
worth
haven't checked it out.
Or agapelive.com.
Yeah. Well, I go to Agape Live and
yes. They're
just, I share a lot with those.
Right.
Unbelievable.
And they're so real. I remember going to the Spiritual Center for the first time and realizing, life makes sense. Because it didn't make sense until that moment.
Yeah, you know what's so interesting, and I'm going to finish this off, I'm way over time, and there's a compliment to you. I have to say this to people. One word keeps coming up in my meditation every day, and it's unification.
Mm.
And it keeps coming up when they're doing these studies of kids of what they want in our new president. What's the one word? Like 80-some% of them, they want unification. It comes up in all religious aspects, spiritual aspects, health aspects, geography, this word just keeps coming up. I believe that we're going through a transition, a transformation of unification and of even ages. Like I'm meeting more and more people that I feel just have a sense that I have to be what I can be to unify all of us, to right. show the oneness that we have, to really result in this powerful, and whether it's books about, you know, fear turning to fierceness, or mm-hmm. other peaceful, forgiving books, or inspirational and aspirational books that keep coming out, and people like you just keep appearing in my life, and I have mm-hmm. to acknowledge you for being so great. And leading the way, and, you know, just inspiring so many people. And hopefully you will be and take on the task of being one of my 1,000 to inspire 1,000 to inspire 1,000 to be happy, because you're well equipped already. I just want to say thank you and I forgive you and I love you, and I love all of you as well. This has been probably the most spiritual of all Entrepreneurs Playbook, but in my opinion, this really set forth the playbook to my success. I know I give a lot of pragmatic business advice about how to buy and sell and negotiate and scale a business. But if you truly want to know how to scale and build a business, watch this thing again and again and follow my dear friend, Koya. This is Dave Meltzer with Entrepreneurs, The Playbook. Well, I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of The Playbook as much as me. On a personal note, I just wanted to thank everyone for making The Playbook such a success. Don't forget to continue it by sharing, subscribing, and listening to your favorite episodes. This is Dave Meltzer with The Playbook.